I'll say good morning to each one of you and ask you to turn with us to 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. If you got your Bible, turn there. Maybe you're on the road traveling. So many of you now are beginning spring break and you're taking your vacation, your trips. Maybe you're coming down or going back. We encourage you to tune in and let the Word of God be a blessing to you. I pray that you're saved, but if you're not saved, you can be, because God's in the business of saving sinners. That's the business He's in. And it delights my heart that Jesus still saves the lost. He hadn't quit saving, and He hadn't quit changing lives, and He hadn't quit restoring people back to the marvelous grace of God. I'm glad that one day Christ called me and extended His hand of mercy toward me and washed me from my iniquity and cleansed me from my sin and put me in the grace of God. He did it. Christ can, and He will. He'll restore your life. He'll save you. He'll change you. He'll make you what you ought to be in Him. He'll prepare you for eternity. He'll keep you out of a devil's hell. And He'll bless everything you put your hand to do if you'll walk with Him. His blessings will be upon you. And we're going to see that in the life of a young man by the name of David. David was given to God in his youth. He was God's servant when he was on the backside. He was God's servant before he got to Goliath. Goliath may have made David famous with men, but it didn't make David famous with God. David had a relationship, and I'm going to say this to you young people. You can have a relationship with God in your youth. You can be special for the Lord as Daniel was. And you can take a stand even as these young men did. And so when David wasn't popular with his family, we know that he was forgotten about. When Samuel came and called at that feast at Jesse's table, David was an afterthought. David was forgot about. You may feel like, preacher, I'm forgotten about by many of my peers, but God won't forget you. And I like that, but I'm going to tell you, we see it. It is a great story. You said, preacher, I feel like I'm the underdog where I work. I'm the underdog where I worship. I'm the underdog of my own kin. Well, David felt like that probably at times on the backside of the desert, watching and tending to the father's sheep. But bless God, he was a faithful sheep keeper. And if you be faithful to the Lord, He'll honor you, and God won't forget you. God won't forget where you are. He won't forget. Remember how Jacob had a pillow for a stone? I bet there were times David hardly even had a good blanket out there on those cold nights, but he was faithful. Oh, he was tending them. No wonder when he wrote the 23rd Psalm, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Whew, you talk about a blessing. When you think about the 23rd Psalm, those six famous verses written by a young man that knew God and he knew about tending sheep. And he said, "He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, makes my eyes wet with tears." What about you? I tell you, it causes a shout in my soul when I think of what David said when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack." That's what he's talking about. There's no lack unto those that are faithful to God. And here is David as the things transpired in his life. We're talking about the friendship with Jonathan. We're talking about the Goliath event and how that it put him really on a pedestal among the people. They said Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And great victory come his way, and God was with him. And so we fast forward a little bit through the life of David, and we watch this and see it, how that he is here. He's fleeing from Saul, and he's fled from Saul and fled from Saul. And everywhere he turned, God's kept him, protected him, and God even gave him the life of Saul twice, but he chose not. Life is about choices, isn't it? It's about choices. Those three mighty men were there with David, and they said, "Listen, I'll go smite him to the ground. He'll never draw breath. I'll take his life." David wouldn't allow it. He chose not to allow it. And so here, David, we find it as he fled into Philistia, we find that he did not want to fight. And I really believe this is God's protection. It's where we're going to begin reading here. God's got him living in the land of the Philistines. And so it's funny, we were talking about Samson a little while earlier, how Samson went down to the Philistines, but David's not went there to seek a wife. David has went there He's gone there. I believe God's protecting him there to keep him from fighting against Israel. Well, he was ready to fight. We know this from the prior chapter, but God kept him from it. What a thrill. It's amazing how when we don't know our way, the song still using that song that we're hearing this morning, I cannot find my way without him. Well, we're going to key in on that again today. I think it's maybe a part of a little series. We said something about Samson couldn't find his way, could he? He had to have the young lad to lead him. And he couldn't find his way to the pillar of the building. And so here he was looking for the pillars of the house, but he couldn't find his way because sin had cost him. It cost him his eyesight. It cost him his liberty. It cost him his spiritual freedom. And we know that God restored him and God heard him in his final prayer when he asked God to do it one more time. Restore him one more time. God did, and that's the way Samson left this life. Well, here we're talking about David. He's down, and they won't allow him. God's kept him. You know, David thought the men were doing it, but no doubt God was doing it. He kept David from fighting against King Saul. And King Saul is about to die, but David had no part in it. It's the mercy of God. And so God kept him and is keeping him. And I'm going to tell you, if you're saved today, the one that's keeping you is God. We are kept, Peter said, by the power of God. And so it's not us. Listen, let's get away from this doctrine that says I must keep myself. I can't keep myself. I'm unable to keep myself. My power to keep myself was no good before I got saved, and it's no good after I get saved. You know why? Because I can't keep myself. We must get back to what Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. And Jesus is the Savior, and Jesus is the keeper. And so the one that's going to keep you and I saved is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are kept by the power of God. And David was kept by the power of God. Listen, you said, well, David was a mighty man of strength. And look at all the great things he done in his own strength. Look at the great failures he failed in his own strength. And so the arm of flesh will fail you. We're not trusting in our flesh. We're trusting in the Word of God. We're trusting in the living Word of God. We're trusting in Him who was incarnate, the Word of God, Jesus the Savior. Well, here, let's read a little bit in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30, we're going to read and skip through a little bit here for the sake of time. But watch this, where the Word said, it came to pass, David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day. The third day they come to the city that was given to him, where him and his mighty men, of course we know David had his 30 mighty men, but he had an army of 600 men, and that was a ragtag bunch. Many of them were ragtag. They were depressed, discouraged, disheartened, and broke. And so that was a lot of what composed his men. But he had 600. Four of them was in pretty good shape, 400 of them. And 200 of them couldn't hardly go. They'd run out of gas. And so they tarried by the stuff, and they stayed. And so when the 600 came back, and they found that the city of David had been burned by the Amalekites. It had been burned with fire. And their wives were kidnapped. And their children were taken hostage. And I believe they led every sheep and cattle that they could get their hands on, they led them away with him. When David and his men, who were war weary, had come back and found Ziklag burned with fire, they were mighty discouraged. As you would imagine, watch this. The Word said, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. Well, that's the city of David at that time. Now, the city of David, you'll later read, is Zion. God has given Zion to David. It's called the city of David. But at this time, the city of David was Ziklag, and the Word said, they had taken women captive, and they that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David and his men were come to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You can imagine. These were not cartoon characters. These were real men with real families, real heartache, real hurt. And you could see it. Could you imagine it happening to your home or your neighbor's home? the heartache that would be filled with that community when it's burned with fire and the captives were taken. And so many times people experience things like this. And so here they were disheartened and discouraged. And the word said they wept till they had no more power to weep. And so watch now, David's two wives were taken captive, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. David's men that were with him, they just returned from battle. David, the great leader that he is, I'm going to tell you, you said, "Preacher, I'm saved by the marvelous grace of God," but you still may have things that come your way when people that you love rise up against you, and you don't understand that. What did David have to do with it? I tell you, it's a weakness of human flesh. Why would these men raise up against their leader? Their leader wasn't the problem. The enemy was the problem. And so many times people today, you know what happens? Is they attack the one that loves them the most. And so those that love them the most are attacked. Even as David felt attacked, they took up. We're not making this stuff up. We're reading it right here from the first Samuel chapter 30, and we're reading it from the 6th verse. For the people spake of stoning him. They wanted to stone him. And so what happens when their little heart was discouraged and distressed? They thought the thing to do was to stone their leader. Well, it happened in Moses' life. They took up stones to stone him. There were those that wanted to kill the leader, oftentimes in the Word of God. And you're going to have to deal with that. Some of you pastors out there, when bad things happen to your family, bad things happen to your church family, you know what's going to happen? Some of the people are going to take up stones to stone you. It's not a new concept. And so what do? We rise above it. I'm going to show you how we rise above it. How we rise above it is not attacking in the flesh. Watch this. David understood that those that took up stones to stone him weren't the problem. The Amalekites were the problem. And here the word said, because the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. They literally were in such distress. You can imagine they were suicidal thoughts. You know, people become suicidal today. And that's of course led by the enemy. And what happens is they become so suicidal because they don't know where else to turn. So what do? We stone the leader. And if we don't stone the leader, we become suicidal. And we choose to take our own life. And maybe that's the answer. And that's what the devil says. That's never what God says. That's not God's answer. God's answer is prayer. God's answer is seeking the Lord. God's answer is coming to Him. And so instead of taking up stones, they should have been calling a prayer meeting. You said, "Preacher, it sounds kind of hokey. When things happen, bad things happen, who calls a prayer meeting?" I tell you who calls prayer meeting. People that believe God. People that believe God pray. People that trust God pray. People that seek God pray. And so we find it here. Watch it. They want to stone him. Their heart's distressed. And the word said they're grieved. And David, verse 6, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I like that. Boy, to tell you, that's powerful stuff right there. It wasn't just the Lord God. No, it's the Lord his God. I wonder, is God your God today? Is Jesus your Savior? Is Christ your Lord? Are you just wandering around to and fro and trying to find your way through this life, work a little bit, go to church a little bit, spend time with a kid a little bit, and get old and die? No, I want to know, is the Lord your God? Does He belong to you? Is it personal with you? Is it a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? When trouble comes your way, where do you turn? Do you go to the psychic? Do you go to the fortune teller? Do you go to the soothsayer? It's where Saul went. Saul, we just back in the 28th chapter, Saul went to the wicked witch of Endor. You know why? Because God wouldn't answer him. And the reason God wouldn't answer him is because he couldn't get a prayer through. And the reason he couldn't get a prayer through was he had sinned against God and grieved God to the point that Samuel said, "Saul, you are the enemy of God now. You're God's enemy." God doesn't answer his enemies, does he? And Saul couldn't get a prayer through. And in his desperation, some of you today are living the life of an enemy of God. You may go to church. I didn't say you didn't. You may have your name on a roll. You may pay tithes. You may pay something. But God's your enemy. And if God's your enemy, you got to get that fixed. And how do I get it fixed, preacher? I'm going to tell you, every one of us, we're created in the image of God. We're birthed by God. Our life comes from God. But until God saves us, we are His enemy. And so we're at war with God. And so we got this right here in the Word. Remember the place over in Isaiah 45:9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. And so you're at war. And what happens when men go to war with God? I tell you what happens. Their guns ain't big enough. Think about it in the ring, the boxing ring. Some of you trying to duke it out with God. You can't. You said, preacher, something happened in my past, and I'm still mad at God about that. You better get on his side. He's the only one going to hear prayer for you. He's the only one going to help you if you'll repent, if you'll turn. He said, preacher, I'm playing church. I played church for a long time. Got a lot of people fooled. You don't have God fooled. You got to get that fixed. Let's quit wallowing in what's wrong and get it right. Let's quit talking about what's missing and find what we need. And so here they were. I don't know where these 600 men were, but I know when trouble come. But I'm going to tell you, it's a sure sign. It's a sure sign of where you are when trouble comes. And if thou faint, let's take it from the Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Now, if you're fainting in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And if your strength is small, then your strength is not the Lord Jesus. If the Lord Jesus Christ is my strength, I'm saved by the grace of God. He's my strength. I have no strength of my own. We done established that. We have no strength in ourselves. David understood he had no strength in himself. You know why David didn't pick up, jump on his horse, gather up his guns and go seek those? Because he didn't know where to go. He had no lead. He had no guidance. He had no leadership. He had no direction. And so he went where he knew to go to get direction, and that's prayer. And so what happens is so many times in our own effort, we want to fly solo. And we kind of try to kick God out of the cabin and say, get out of the way, God, I'm going to fly solo now. And so it's me. It's me, myself, and I. We're going to get it done, but you can't get it done. And you know what happens? You'll faint the day of adversity because your strength is small. And trouble will come and you'll have nowhere to turn. And you'll be like Saul. You'll be down at the psychic's house trying to get some help from the crystal ball readers. Desperation. These men took up the stones to stone him because they were desperate. And desperate men do desperate things. And here's what happened. So many times, people today, they faint. They pull the gun on themselves, suicidal, take their own life. That's the answer. I'll fix it. And the devil's sitting there feeding you a lie, and you'll buy that lie because you won't buy the truth. The proverb said, find truth and buy it. Bless God, sell everything you got for truth. Get truth. You know why? Truth will anchor you. Truth will settle you. Truth will keep you. Truth will direct you, and it'll lead you back to the source. And the source is God, and the source is prayer. And truth will take you there. That's why David, here he is, he wept till he had no more power to weep. But when he got done weeping, he wasn't desperate in the sense of wanting to kill somebody. He wasn't wanting to stone his people. He wasn't wanting to jump off the cliff. He wasn't wanting to find some way to take his own life. He went to prayer, and the Word said David was greatly distressed. You said, preacher, I know what it is about these saved people. Problems never come their way. Oh yeah, they come. Problems come. Problems come, I tell you, equally and sometimes even more so. But it's not the problems that we dwell on. We dwell. This is where you got to get. If you're not saved, now if you're saved today and you're hearing this Word, I'm encouraging you to do what God's already led you to do. But if you're not saved, you need to grab this and you need to find God. You need to seek Him that you might be found of Him. You need to seek Him with all your heart. And when we find God, you know what happens? We find answers. And so life's going to deal us a bad hand. Sometimes life's going to deal us a rough road to hoe. But we've got to have the answer to how we deal with that, and God's always got the answer. You may be coming through financial hardships. I know people in that case today. Your life may be turned upside down financially. You may have lost everything you had, and you're finding yourself in a place you never thought you'd be. God has the answer. It's not in a bullet. It's not an overdose. It's not in something foolish. It's in God. And God has the answer for you. He said, "Preacher, my family's turned upside down. I never thought it'd be this way in my marriage. I never thought it'd be this way with my children." Adversity will come, but you can't faint. If you faint the day of adversity, your strength is small. But here, the Lord is our defense. The Lord is our shepherd. David, you don't think he's thinking about some of these things he's encountered? When the lion came and attacked the sheep, when the bear came, he's dealt with adversity before. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. He leadeth me. Oh, bless God. God's waiting to lead you today. He's wanting to guide you. And David's seeking God's leadership. Watch now what happened. He encouraged himself. And he said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, there's a lineage of priest here, Levitical priest. He said to Abiathar, "I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord. At the Lord. Where are we taking it to? We're taking it to God in prayer. Take it to God. Take it to God. I don't care what's wrong. Take it to God. People say, "Preacher, nothing's wrong. Everything's right." Take that to God. Fellowship with God. Spend time with God. And so here, watch this. He inquired and said, "Shall I pursue?" They still have the stones in their hands. They still want to stone David. David's asking God, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he said, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all." I'm going to tell you something blesses me right here. It's not so much the answer that David got. God said, "Go, and those that took your wives, took your children, go, and you'll take them, and you'll pursue them, you'll overtake them, and without fail, don't lose this, we'll recover all." God said, without fail, you're going to recover everything. What a blessing. That's a blessing. But that don't bless me as much as the fact that David prayed, and God heard him. And not only did God hear him, but God answered him. That's the most important thing. He said, "Preacher, if God will just hear me." Well, I want him to hear me. But he's going to hear. God hears. God hears all, sees all. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He knows all things. He sees all, hears all. I want God to answer, don't you? I need an answer. David prayed and God heard him and God answered him and said, "Without fail, thou shalt recover all." I tell you, there's times you need an answer. You need God to speak an answer down in the deep corners of your heart. You need God's answer. And this is where we are. Jesus has the answer. I'm glad of that. If you're unsaved, He'll save you today and He'll give you an answer. You know, sometimes that's what Pilate wanted. Pilate, remember, he scolded Jesus a little bit. And he said, "Don't you know I have power to kill you and power to save you?" And Jesus said, "You have no power at all against me except I've given thee to my Father." But what made Pilate a little upset there was that he asked him a question and Jesus gave him no answer. Some of you are praying prayers today, but you're not getting an answer. God has the answer, and He's got the answer for you, even as He had the answer for David, and He wants to give it to you. But it may be some things you need to correct in your life. Your spiritual walk may need some adjustments. God wants to get something out of your life or get you going over here in the right direction, and you're not following His leadership. And so what happens? You go to pray, and it seems the heavens are brass, and your prayers aren't even getting out of the room. No, we want God to hear, God to answer. The right relationship with God will find an answer in prayer. David prayed, God heard him, and he answered him and said, "Go." And David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and the 400, for 200 abode behind. I told you about that. They were faint, so they could not go. So 200 stayed with the stuff. And 400 went and pursued. And watch what happened. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, Whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. And he made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast that belonged to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb. Watch now. And we burned Ziklag with fire. He's sitting there spitting it out. David asked him one question, and he's telling it all. I'm going to tell you, he's coughing it up, isn't he? You don't think God's hand's in that? You don't think God's hand is in this matter of the young man laying there? And David said to him, Can thou bring me to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth, eating, drinking, and dancing, because all the great spoil they'd taken out of the land of the Philistines. And David smote them, verse 17, David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. That's pretty good smiting, wouldn't you say? From dusk dark until twilight of the next day, he smote them unto the evening of the next day. That's about a 25-hour or 24-hour spanking. And so they defeated them. And the word said there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which fled upon camels. And David, here's the verse I want you to get, the 18th verse. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, nor sons nor daughters, nor spoil, nor anything. Watch this. Preacher, you sure God's got the answer? If God says go, you go. If God says stay, you stay. When you ask of God, you expect an answer, don't you? I'm not talking about an audible voice. David didn't hear an audible voice. As far as we know, God spoke it in his heart. God spoke. The royal telephone, the old song we sing in the church hymnal, that line of communication was open between David and God. Prayer does that. And here we see it. He recovered all. And the word said, there was not anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. He took all the flocks, all the herds which they drave before the other cattle. And here we find it. God answered David's prayer. You cannot convince me that God will not work on your behalf. He will. He'll work there. God's got an Egyptian laying in a field. God's got somebody somewhere that's run out of gas. He had a young man, hadn't eaten or drank for 3 days. And when he fainted, his master left him. But God's got him there. And God's got him there for a reason. And they take him. I'm going to tell you another place you see that is a little further on. When you find when Saul was found dead. And they pursued and overtook a young man. And that young man had all the answers. This young man, God has left him there. And he's led David to him, and his troops have found him, and they brought him back to David. And not only did they find him, but he's told everything, and everything he said is so. And they pursued and caught him celebrating the great victory. They thought it was a great victory. But I want to tell you, what this world counts a victory is not always so with God. God moved on David's behalf, and he recovered all that he had. And this is what we find. We find it here. God has an answer for you. He might have a little Egyptian laying in a field. I don't know. God may have an answer in another form, in another matter, but he has an answer for you, and we need that answer. We need it today, and we need to trust God for it. But I'm going to tell you this, without a relationship with God, you cannot get an answer from God. We've got to have it. We've got to have his leadership, even as Samson did. Even as David did, we've got to have it too. We're no exception to that. We've got to have it, church. We have to have a prayer life. You said, preacher, I'm saved. I want to develop a prayer life with God. It's just this simple. Spend time with God. And I tell you, David's family forgot him. His own troops raised up stones against him. But God never left him. God never forsaken him. God never turned his back on him, and he won't do it for you. He'll keep you. No wonder. No wonder David, a man after God's own heart, he said, "Preacher, what about his failures?" Brother, his failures didn't determine his relationship with God. His victories did. You know what determines our relationship with God? Our victories. I'm not talking about victories in battle. I'm talking about victories in prayer. Victories in prayer. Victories. I tell you, God's got things He wants you to win, and you'll win that battle in prayer. Father, take Your word today. God, create a great victory in our lives. And let it be in the prayer closet. God, let it be in the woods. Let it be in the private place. God, let it be in the secret place that we spend time with You. God, give us a spirit of prayer today. God, give us a place where we can go and find You in the time of trouble. God, we don't want to faint the day of adversity. And if we'll pray, success will be ours. Do it now, Father. Encourage Your people. Save the lost. Reclaim every backslider. Restore them. God, restore them by prayer and by Your word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.